Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. To God be the glory. We thank God for Word Wednesday tonight. We thank God for those who are here, those that would tune in as we go along with the Word Wednesday for tonight. Pastor Anthony Simmons here. We're excited about what God wants to speak and say tonight. Amen. Through his word. We give God praise. We give God honor as we open in prayer tonight. We believe that by faith, amen, that God's word will not come back void. He sent his word that they might be healed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Bible says the word of God will remain forever. How powerful is the word of God? The Bible says in the beginning was the word. Come on.
Yeah.
So in the beginning was the word. The word was there at the very beginning. And we thank God for Jesus. We thank God for the word in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
To God be the glory.
Yes, God.
So we're going to pray. Father, we thank you for Word Wednesday. We thank you for the Bible study tonight. We thank you, Lord, as we go higher in the things of God, that you will get the glory out of our lives. You said it's not by power, not by might, but by your spirit. The grace of God, Paul said, by grace through faith, everything will be done decently and in order.
Yes, God.
Now, God, we humble ourselves tonight.
Yes, Lord.
We pray your blessings upon this time together in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
Now, God, speak to us. Speak
yes,
to every heart.
Yes, Lord.
Speak to every listener.
Yes,
those
God.
That, Father God, came expecting and believing you by faith
yes.
to go higher in the things of God. So, God, we give this time to you. And we say, have your way.
Have your way, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
amen.
Name. Amen. Amen. Yes, God.
To God be the glory. To God be all the glory. Let's begin by the scripture that we went to on Sunday. We're going to continue talking about that. Your faith will not fail you. And we want to look at Peter again and just pull some things out and reiterate and reemphasize some things that we talked about on Sunday and sort of slow it down tonight. But there's some key points in the name of Jesus that we can pull out of 1 Peter chapter number 5 that we talked about on Sunday in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5.
Yes, Lord.
Beginning at verse number 1. Hallelujah. We entitled the message on Sunday, Your Faith Will Not Fail You. And that, I want to continue talking about that tonight, along with the blessings that come through faith.
Yes. Yeah.
The blessings that come through faith. We're going to look at some scriptures pertaining to that as well. There are many blessings that come through faith. Hallelujah. But 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 1. We thank God for those who are here.
Yeah.
It talks about the elders. I'm going to dance through it a little bit because I don't want to read everything. For the sake of time, but it talks about the elders of the church being among them. And then verse number 2, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. He's talking to the elders of the church, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So not doing the things of God, pastoring, preaching, shepherding God's flock, not to do it for money, not to do it for personal gain, not to do it for ambition or fame or fortune, but to do it out of a willing heart for the things of God. There's a calling. There's a calling from the Most High God on the under-shepherd to shepherd the flock of God which is amongst them. In verse number 4, we're still in 1 Peter 5, he says, and when the chief shepherd, that is Jesus, when the chief shepherd shall appear, his second coming, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yes, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I love verse number 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The scripture that we just read, three things I want to highlight. Number one, humility, or being humble. Number two, honor. And number three, hearing. All the words begin with the letter H. Humility, humble. Number two, honor. And number three, hearing, in the name of Jesus. We see through Peter, he says, older, teach the younger. The Bible says time and time again, even as we read the scripture, it says in the book of James that children, honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long. That's the power of honor. The Hebrew writer writes about marriage. Marriage is honorable by all, and the marriage bed is undefiled. Come on, somebody. We see such a dishonor on marriage today. Yes, they're trying to redefine marriage. We get it. The culture wants to go in a whole nother different direction than what God ordained and what God intended for marriage. But the Bible clearly states that we and all should honor marriage. That means respect it. That means value it. That means, amen, look to it with reverence and look to it with honor and dignity and respect. And we will be so much further along killing this epidemic of divorce in our culture if we just honor our marriages. Husband, honor that wife. Oh, glory. Wife, honor that husband. It's a mutual back and forth. Submitting, Ephesians writer, he wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, submitting one to another. And that's how marriages work. Sometimes the love is not as intense as it once was, and sometimes there is tension in the marriage. Sometimes there is disagreement, and there's strife in the marriage. But if you hold on to the honor one for another, trust me, your marriage will get back in solid footing. It will get back in a wonderful state of being whole and being well. Even as it says, honor your mother and your father, we see sometimes in families how the breakdown of communication, and sometimes family members are not communicating with one another. And the Bible says, plainly, children, honor. That means respect them. Listen to your parents. Take heed to what they're trying to teach you. And when we say faith, your faith will not fail you, sometimes we have to have blind faith to believe that even though we don't know everything, even though we don't see it, even though we can't assess it and sometimes examine it fully, that's why it's called faith. He said, if you don't need the hope, if you already got the answers, if you already got the solution, if you already have the way, there's no need for hope. There's no need for faith. There's no need for wanting. But Jesus, through God and the power of the Holy Spirit, said the just shall live by faith. So when I'm talking about your faith not failing you, sometimes it is walking in uncertainty. It is walking trusting God fully and totally. It is being so dependent on God. That's what Jesus, right before he was ascended into heaven, right before he was crucified, you'll find it over in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 11. He says, have faith in God. He's about to be crucified. He's about to, glory be to God, go to the cross for the remission of the sins of mankind. He's about to be the atonement substitute for you and I. But he teaches them a valuable lesson in Mark chapter number 11. If you speak to the mountain and do not doubt in your heart, but believe those things in which you say, you shall have what you ask and what you say if you believe and do not doubt. And their faith did not fail them because they got to the place in God where they was not double-minded. They did not doubt. They did not walk in unbelief. And that's why we got to talk about it. We got to talk about it to be about it. I got to go to church. I got to hear preach word. I got to avail myself to the things of God. I must do what Romans 10:17 says. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's how you increase your faith. The worst thing somebody can do is when they're going through a trial, is when they're going through a tough time, when they're going through a hardship, is the worst thing they can do is, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to avail myself to the things of God. No, you got to force yourself to get to a preacher. Force yourself to get in the word of God. You got to force yourself to get the word of God back into your ear gate. Amen. That's how your faith will not fail you. Because when Jesus restored Peter, he had to get Peter through words. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And sometimes we need to hear that God loves us from a preacher. We need to hear, in spite of what we're going through, how much God loves us. So when we think about humility, it takes a humbled person to say, listen, I know things are going contrary to what I believe. I'm in a trial. I'm in a hard position. But I'm going to humble myself because the Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace. He gives room. He gives mercy. He gives kindness to those of us who are humble. And I thank God. I thank God in the name of Jesus. For the spirit of humility.
Yes.
He says, clothe yourself with humility.
Yes.
and lay down your pride and lay down the arrogance. And Peter was simply saying, when we do that, then he exalts us. He lifts us up. He brings us into places of power and position and prosperity. And he brings us into positions of promise from God on high. So I thank God that our faith will not fail us, and our faith will not fail you. Your faith will not fail you.
Yes.
Let's look at this. Go on over to James. James chapter number 1. Because many of us have done what I'm talking about tonight. We have lived by faith, but our faith has been tested. Our faith has been tried. We have come under fire because of our faith. Many of us have come under attack because we do believe in God. And James, the brother of Jesus, wrote something so powerful as it relates to that. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through a test, when you're going through your faith being tested by the devil to see if you're going to stay true to your God and true to what you believe God said to and for you. James chapter number 1, verse number 2. He says, my brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He was simply saying the devil will test you. The enemy will tempt you. But James is saying, glory be to God. He is saying to us tonight, if you look at it, if you have a perspective, if you perceive that this test, this trial, this situation and this trouble, this problem that you're facing, God will take it and make it for your good. So he says, count it all joy because God is working something out in you. Amen, somebody. God is working. You know, I look back over my Christian life and I remember some valley seasons. I remember some trying times. Going through blended families, going through loss of income, going through trials and tribulations as it relates to the health in my body. And as I'm on the other side of that, the other side of debt, the other side of healing, the other side of now my family being functioning and not dysfunctional, I see now that I could have counted it all joy. Come on, somebody. Many of us have grown in the name of Jesus. We have grown because we have been tried.
Yeah.
We have been tested. Yeah. And now on the other side of that, as we look back, we see now when the enemy comes through that door, through that vehicle, we now know how to handle him better. When he causes strife or he tries to come with a spirit of discord and division in our marriage or our home or our ministry, when the enemy attack our bodies with sickness and disease, there are many that fall apart. There are many that fold. There are many that cave in under the pressure. But those of us who have been tried, listen to what James said in verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, we're talking about faith tonight, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And it shall be given to him. Let him ask in faith. There's that word again. Not wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We need to understand that sometimes people of God, when we're going through a trial, when we're going through a test, God is working on our patience. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Go to Galatians. I'm not going to go there, but chapter 5, around that 22nd verse, it says love, joy, peace are fruits of the Spirit. And then it says temperance, long-suffering, faith, and the word patience is there in the NIV version. God is allowing you and I to get the ability and the quality and the characteristic in our life, the ability and quality to wait. My God. When we learn how to wait on God, when we learn how to wait in tough times and not worry, when we can learn how to be patient in the middle of precious situations, there are some people that react and respond outside of the will of God, and God is saying, no, get back in faith. Because if we respond, if we react, if we go in the flesh and move out in our carnal or natural thinking, then we don't get the results that we need from God. I know sometimes in my earlier Christian walk, before I became a mature believer, I was going through some situations on the job and going through some situations with the ex-wife and going through some situations trying to raise my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I did not have an ideal situation going on in my life. But God was showing me, even in that, don't respond the wrong way.
Amen.
Don't overreact. Yes, people are trying to push your buttons. Yes, people are getting under your skin. Yes, people are saying things off the cuff to you that are disrespecting you and trying to dishonor you. But don't react the wrong way. Don't respond. Even in my marriage, I read scriptures that to help me better my marriage. And the one that stuck with me early on, because I had this issue with anger and being defensive and coming out of my mouth before I thought. But the Bible clearly says, be slow to anger. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Be slow to anger. Be slow to speak. And those two ministered to me that, wait a minute, let me bite my tongue. Let me not speak. Let me think. Let me process this first. Let me not do anything in haste and in a hurry. And James is talking in James chapter number 1 about God giving us a trial and a test because he's trying to develop patience in us. When we've been looking for a job and we have our resume out there and it looks like no doors are opening, God says, be patient. Glory be to God. When you're looking for a good relationship, you're looking for a man that will value you and treat you like a diamond and take care of you and honor you as a woman of God, a man that will protect you and provide for you. God says sometimes don't compromise, don't settle, but be patient. Glory be to God. It's a wonderful characteristic. Even when bill collectors are calling and you find yourself being, the Bible says we're troubled on every side and we're perplexed and it looked like everything is coming at us at once. He says, I still want you to demonstrate patience.
Amen.
Because he said, if you get into this area of doubt and being double-minded, then the enemy gets us. Because God, he can work through unbelief, but he'd rather work through faith. Oh, glory be to God. Y'all need to hear what I just said. That's the grace. Because, you know, sometimes I hear people saying, well, you know, if you got unbelief, God won't move. Sometimes God knows better than we know ourselves. He may give you the grace card. I know you're doubting me on this one, but I'm going to bless you anyhow. Glory be to God. I know you don't have strong faith. You have little faith, and sometimes we have no faith, and God still bless us. Not according to our faith, like the scripture says, but just because he's God. That's what I love about God.
Amen.
I would love to think that it's my faith that got me out of certain situations. It's, you know, I thought about my wife today as I brought this lesson when she was looking for her first garden apartment. She went from welfare to Wall Street. She started getting a substantial income. And she went to this beautiful complex to apply for housing. And there was some, you know, white people in the office, Caucasian people, and they were conducting business with some young people. My wife is, you know, black, African-American, and there were some white people in the office. And she heard a conversation with the lady who was the office manager giving these young kids who were college students, giving them grace. And saying, you don't make the money, you don't make enough money to pay the rent, but we would take and honor your parents' income. And then when they got to my wife, after hearing this conversation, she said the management, the woman, just off the top, did not treat her with kindness and respect and honor and gave her such a hard time at the interviewing process. And she said, well, you got to make rent in a week, and you got to have proof of verification, and you got to show us that you qualify for this property and that you can afford to live here. And my wife says, yes, I'm going to do all of that. Now, she could have walked out. She could have said, I don't want to live here because I'm not being received, but she showed patience. Amen, somebody. And what was for her, she was not going to let anybody take that blessing away. And she provided the credentials, and she moved in that township, and it's been a wonderful open door that God gave her. But the point I want to make is that don't let nothing or no one take your blessing from you. What's for you is for you. What God has for you is for you. There's nothing, sexism, classism, racism, nothing should be able to move you to a place where you don't demonstrate the love of God to even sometimes when you're being mistreated, you got to show patience, take the higher road, and get your blessing.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Get your blessing. And I want us to see that tonight in Galatians chapter number 3. Because there are some wonderful benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. The benefit of being a Christian is this. John 3:16 guarantees heaven. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomever shall believe in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. That's heaven. If you believe that Jesus was the Son of God, confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart, salvation, as it relates in Romans chapter number 10, you are saved. So you have heaven, which is a guarantee if you are a Christian, if you are a believer. You are saved, salvation, through confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Now, in this new thing called Christianity, you have power. Remember over in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, Jesus said the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you shall receive power, dunamis, dynamite, explosive power. So we get power, we get salvation, we get heaven, and we get the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, as it relates to John 14 and 15. I go away, but my Father will send you the Comforter that will live in you, the Counselor. So we have all these things, but we don't talk about the blessing a lot. Listen to what Paul writes to the church of Galatia. He founded this church. But listen to how Paul writes about our faith and how it produces a blessing. Galatians chapter number 3, look at verse number 7. We're talking about faith. Your faith will not fail you. This whole chapter is talking about Galatians chapter 3. It's talking about justification by faith. He says, we did nothing to earn salvation, but all we did was believe. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You believed. And because you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth, salvation came into your life. It wasn't by works. I was good enough. I didn't sin. I didn't curse nobody out. I laid down all my evil ways. No, none of that happened. You believed, and boom, there was salvation. You were a born-again believer because of your belief. Amen.
Amen.
But listen to Paul's argument, or Paul's reasoning here. That's not even the word I'm looking for. Reasoning is a good enough word right now. Galatians 3, verse number 7. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, that's you and me, we are the ones that's walking by faith. He says, know that we who are living by faith, the same are the children of Abraham. He says, not because we're Jewish, not because we're Orthodox, not because, glory be to God, we're of a certain faith or ethnicity, but because we believe, we are children of Abraham. Verse number 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that was you and I before we became saved, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And listen to verse number 9. So then, they which be of faith, you and me, are blessed with faithful Abraham. So when the preachers say the blessings of Abraham are on your life, come on. That's where they get that text from. That's where they get that terminology from. That's where they get that preaching from. That the blessings of Abraham are on your life according to Galatians chapter 3. And if you look at Genesis chapter 12, he said, I will bless you to be a blessing. That's the blessing that's on your life. You're going to be a blessing to bless your children and your grandchildren. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to be a blessing to bless your pastors and and your church. Glory be to God. You're going to be a blessing to live in the house and have the kind of lifestyle that you want, have the kind of luxuries that you want, have the kind of career and the things that you want, because he said, I'm going to make your name great. I'm not going to turn there, but I'm just quoting what he gives Abraham in chapter number 12, when he said, if you leave your father and your mother house and go to a place I will show you, I'm going to bless them that bless you. Oh, glory be to God. I said, when people are good to you, God is going to be good to them. Oh, glory be to God. I'm going to say that again. We talk about haters and people don't understand, but when they are good to you, God is going to be good to them. Oh, glory be to God. But when they hating on you, God is going to deal with them. Because he says in Genesis chapter number 12, I'm going to curse them that curse you.
Yes,
and people don't know what they're doing when they're coming against you. They don't know that you're a child of God, you're a daughter of God, you're a woman of God, you're a man of God, you're a son of the Most High God. There's over 6 billion people on the face of the planet Earth, but you are a child of God.
Yes.
You're a chosen generation. You are a peculiar people.
Amen.
And you got to believe that. You are a royal priesthood. So there are billions of people on the face of the planet, but if you are a Christian, you're different. Philippians chapter number 2. Even when I said that, God said, go to Philippians chapter number 2. You know, sometimes when I teach and God just gives me a scripture and it jumps out at me, but I actually looked at this one before I came on the air tonight because it was just in my spirit. That's why I know where to go right now.
Amen.
But he's telling me to turn here. Philippians chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, I'm trying to find it. Yeah, here we go. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, we're talking tonight, your faith will not fail you. Listen to what he says here as it relates to practicing humility. Remember the scripture we read? We talked about humility, older teaching the younger. Remaining teachable, having an open mind, being objective in our thinking,
yes.
Not knowing everything. He said, I resist the proud, those that know everything, those who can't be told anything, those that can't be corrected. And as a pastor, sometimes it grieved me. The pastor and I are called to correct people sometimes. We're called to give instruction. We're called to counsel. We're called to advise. We're called to use discernment and try to guide you spiritually. And sometimes we have, in 12 years of ministry, have seen people get offended. We have seen people just rebuke and reject instruction and correction and get offended and get angry. And God is saying to us tonight, sometimes that's what I talked about, reacting and responding the wrong way. We got to understand, if you're working in corporate America, if you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're on a football team, a basketball team, a baseball team, and you got a head coach, if you got a mentor, if you have a boss, a supervisor, a manager, everybody gets instruction.
Yeah.
Everybody gets corrected. And we want to get to the church as it pertains to the spiritual things of God, and we want to act like nobody can correct us. And Peter was saying, even I got corrected by Jesus. Even I, Peter, got corrected by the Apostle Paul, because I received what Paul was saying, that when I'm around my Jewish brothers and sisters, I act different. I act funny. But when I'm around the Gentiles, I act another way. And Paul confronted me on that, and I received what Paul was saying to me. So even Peter, the great apostle, was saying, listen, I can even receive correction. Amen, somebody. But Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 12, we're talking about faith tonight, practicing humility. Listen to what Paul writes to the church of Philippi. He's in prison as he writes this letter to the church of Philippi. This is one of the prison letters, epistles. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. My God. Whew. That scripture touches me every time I read it. In other words, there are some things that you and I are not going to know what God is up to. But he says, it is up to God to worketh in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So even though we don't understand it, he says, sometimes work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There are some things that God will let us walk through and go through. We don't have a clue. God, why did you allow this? This pain, this suffering. God, this trial, this test. God, this failure. God, this betrayal. God, this hurt. Why am I going through this? He says, work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Because sometimes we go through this thing called faith with uncertainty. Amen, somebody. I wish we could just say, listen, I'm going to walk by faith. I've been saved 25 years. No, I said it on Sunday. The enemy can hit us with something. When I got a cancer diagnosis, trust me, I wasn't a great man of faith standing in that doctor's office at that time. Fear came over me like you wouldn't believe. The spirit of fear gripped me like you would not believe. The enemy came into my head right away, speaking death into my thoughts. When I was diagnosed with cancer, the fear overwhelmed me. I got back in faith, but the enemy can hit us with something that will rock us and shake us. Come on, somebody. But today I'm healed. Glory be to God. Today I'm set free from my infirmity. Today I'm standing a miracle. Today God did it. God, oh my God, God moved not by power, not by might, but by his spirit. The church prayed for me. My wife prayed for me. My mother-in-law prayed for me. Y'all prayed for me. Y'all prayed for me and got me through. When I couldn't pray for myself, when I couldn't have faith, when I didn't believe, when I couldn't trust God because of what I was going through, somebody prayed for me.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
You don't always have to be a giant in the faith, beloved. You're not always going to have great and big, enormous faith. That's why we're called the body of Christ. That's why you need a pastor. We're called to watch over your soul. We're called to pray for you and your family. We're called to lay on our face for you and your husband and your wife. We're called to cover your children in prayer. He said we're the watchmen. We're standing on the wall, people of God. He said the blood is on our hands if we don't do right by the people and the flock of God which is amongst us. So sometimes we got to preach. We got to tell you the truth. We got to preach some things sometimes that you don't want to hear. But we got to do according to the will of God because he said it's according to his good pleasure. My God, my God, my God. And when we walk by faith and not by sight, because some of the things, you know, we got to hear messages like this because many of y'all are walking through a hard season. You're trying to get some solid footing back. You're trying to get your life established again. You're trying to bounce back and be resilient. Many of us are trying to pursue some things. We're trying to be persistent. Many of us are trying to be strong when we feel like being weak. Many of us are trying to move on and press on. But this thing called faith will get you through, and it won't fail you. It will not fail you. Go to Luke, because I told you that I got the title of my message from this particular text. Luke chapter number 23. Jesus is having a conversation with what I was just talking about with Peter, who really did have great faith, and Peter had great and big faith. But Jesus knows better than we know ourselves. And he's telling Peter what's going to happen in the future. But because Peter was a little arrogant, a little prideful in this moment, as he's talking to the Messiah. He's talking to God. He's talking to Jesus. And you know, Jesus' words will not come back void. Jesus' words will not fail. Jesus' words will not miss the mark, but these are the words of God. And he's having this one-on-one conversation in Luke chapter number 22, starting at verse number 31. And that's why Peter can write what we just started off the lesson tonight with, 1 Peter chapter number 5, because of what's going on right here. I'm going to start reading at verse number 31, Luke 22, 31. It says, Simon, Simon. He didn't even call him Peter at this time. Remember when Andrew, that's Simon's brother, when Jesus was choosing his disciples, the 12, Andrew went and got Peter. He's the one that went and got Simon. And Jesus said to Simon right away, Simon, I'm going to turn your name into Peter because you're going to be the rock. You're going to be the stone. I'm going to change you into something strong. But right now he's back at Simon, Simon, his birth name from his parents. Simon, Simon, behold. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. This is Jesus knowing what the devil wants to do to Peter. Jesus knows what Satan is up to. Verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, this is Peter talking. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. Peter's response and reaction to Jesus when he said, Satan's coming for you. Peter said, Jesus, I'll go to the grave with you. I'll go to prison for you. I'm not afraid. And Jesus comes back at him in verse number 34. And he said, I tell you, Peter. Now he's calling him Peter. The rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times. Those are my words. I didn't want to read the King James Version. But he said, before this day is over, you're going to deny me on three different occasions, Peter. And it came to pass. Y'all know the story. We don't have to keep reading. You can keep reading the entire chapter. We see what happened. They get Jesus. They're flogging him. They're beating him. They have him in the grips of the Roman soldiers. And Peter's afraid. And three different times they told Peter, you're one of them. He's warming himself at the fire. You're one of them. He's looking on from a distance. You are one of them. I saw you with them. No, I'm not one of his. And Peter denied Jesus three times. And Jesus turned around and looked at Peter in the midst of being tortured. And the Bible says Peter's eyes connected with Jesus' eyes, and Peter ran out and wept, and he cried because he knew Jesus' words were accurate. Jesus' words were on point that you were going to deny me. The fear was going to be overwhelming. You said you would go to prison with me. You said you would even die for me, and right now you've denied me three different times. So when I'm talking about your faith will not fail you, yes, he wants us to have great faith. And if you keep coming to church, if you keep coming to Bible study, if you keep coming to prayer, if you keep reading your word, if you keep availing your ears to the things of God, yes, you will get to the place in your Christian walk where your faith will be strong and it will be mature. But there may be periods and seasons in your life where your faith will not be as strong sometimes as it can be.
Amen.
And that's when you need somebody else to pray for you. You need somebody else to believe with you and come alongside you. That's what we do in that prayer line every Tuesday night. We always say it. We just want to come and agree with you. We don't know what the will of God is for your life, but we know that God says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Plans of an expected end. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So God has good things in mind for you and me. So I love the Lord on tonight, and I go, glory be to God. And I pray you love him too, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Because in these last and evil days, to walk by faith is not going to be easy, but it is possible. And I know I'm talking to some people that's walking by faith, or you wouldn't be tuned in tonight. I know I'm talking to some people that's believing God by faith, believing him for your mortgage, believing him for your church, believing him for your family, believing him for your significant other, believing God for the healing in your body in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
So I thank God. I thank God for the people of God that's not going to give up on God. You know, the spirit of unbelief, when we even see that man that brought his son to the disciples, and he said, Jesus, I brought my son to your disciples to cast out this demon that's torturing my son, and they could not cast him out. And Jesus said, bring the boy to me. Long story short, Jesus cast this demon out of this boy, and the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. So it's not like they did not have faith to each try. They had faith. They made an attempt. They had faith believing that they could cast this demon out. But you need some things accompanying your faith. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
You need some things that would help your faith. That's why we preach that word on Sunday, and it's on a YouTube channel right now. Pastor will, I think she sent a broadcast to those that wanted to see that word that we preached on Sunday. It's on YouTube, and you can look it up. But we talked about prayer. Jesus said, this kind of demon, this kind of stronghold, this kind of familiar spirit only comes out by prayer and fasting. So we got to pray. We pray every Tuesday night, but the other 6 days in a week, find yourself praying in the morning. Find yourself uttering some words to God before you doze off to sleep. Find yourself, even if you wake up 3, 4 in the morning and God wakes you up suddenly, find yourself praying and believing God, talking back to God, conversating with God. Your faith will not fail you, but there are some things that God wants us to do to activate our faith. Amen. Glory be to God. You are anointed. That simply means God has given you supernatural ability and supernatural power to do certain things that the people of the world cannot do. They can look at a situation and cannot change it, and they can't alter it because they don't have faith in God. But because you are a child of God, because you are a daughter or son of God, you can look at a situation that's troubling, a problem. You can look at something that's wrong, and you have the power and authority to change it. Come on. Glory be to God. Pastor and I, you know, when my son Marcus, he was young and he has epileptic seizures. And sometimes I would get a call on the road. I work FedEx, and I would get a call on the road. Your son has been rushed from school to the emergency room. And I would drop everything and rush off to the emergency room. And my faith would be tested. You know, that's my son. And, he had left school in an emergency, and I'm afraid, I'm a little scared, I don't know what's going on until I get to the hospital, and I'm rushing off to the hospital, coming from my job, getting to the hospital, and guess what? My faith is being tested. My faith is being tried. And as I'm driving, fear is trying to overwhelm me. Fear is trying to come on me. But I'm walking and I'm believing God by faith that all is well. Amen, somebody. And sometimes when you see a situation, if I was in the world, or if I was carnal, or if I was the person I was before Christ, sometimes when I got to that hospital room and I see him not being able to look at me correctly, or seeing that his brain or his thinking and his thoughts are not what it should be, and seeing him sort of in a distant state of mind, I can look at that situation and not think I can alter it. But my faith said, pray. My faith said, believe God. My faith said, God gonna change this situation. And before I know it, our son was back home with us. Our son was back in school. Before I know it, our son was back doing what he needed to do, because God honored our faith. Me and his mother many a times prayed. And one time we were leaving a meeting, and Marcus was in the back of the car. And he said, God spoke to me, because we prayed before we left the meeting that we was at. Me and his mother prayed on the way home. And then he finally spoke from the back seat. And he told me and his mother, God just spoke to me. And we said, well, what did God say to you? He said, God told me that I'm going to be okay. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And my wife and I, at that time, our faith was built up. Because before we got home good, God already gave us an answer that is going to be all right. Amen, somebody. Amen. To God be the glory. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that I love. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's look at another scripture. Oh, glory be to God. I pray this is blessing somebody tonight. I pray this is helping somebody tonight in the name of Jesus. Because your faith, you know, it will be tested. It will be tried. Let's look at one more scripture. Go to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2, and we're going to wrap up here. Mark chapter number 2. Hallelujah. Mark chapter number 2. Thank you, Lord. Starting at verse number 1, and we'll stop here. Your faith will not fail you. Mark chapter number 2. Verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word of God unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of a palsy, or a person that was paralyzed, which was carried by four men. And when they could not come near unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, or the paralyzed man, Son, your sins be forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why do this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, when he perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he read their thoughts. He said unto them, Why reason you these things in your hearts? whether it be easier to say to the sick of the palsy, your sins be forgiven, or arise and take up your bed and walk. But that you, he did this for them, not the sick person, not the four men carrying him, but for all the unbelievers in the room. He said, but for you, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of a palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way into your house. They were saying that Jesus was blaspheming God. And you and I know the one sin that will keep us out of heaven is the spirit of blasphemy. You cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was saying to them, yes, I can forgive this man's sins because I am God. I'm God in flesh. I am the Son of God. I am equal with God. I am God in the earth realm. That's why I can say to him, your sins are forgiven. And not only that, I can give him the miracle that he needs. Take up your bed and walk. Glory be to God. And then he challenged their thinking. He said, which one is easier? The one that I forgave, the fact that I forgave him, or the fact that I gave him a miracle? We know that only miracles come from God. We know that only God can forgive sins. But I don't want to get off topic too much because we got 2 or 3 minutes left. Jesus saw their faith. And before I sign off tonight, as you came to this Word Wednesday, God is seeing your faith. God is looking at you as you dialed in. God is looking at you when you hang up tonight and go off the air. God is looking at you believing what Pastor Anthony is saying to you tonight, that your faith will not fail you. God is seeing your faith in action. There are many people saying, Lord, Lord, and they're not doing anything. There are many people saying, I believe in Jesus and I am a Christian, but they're not putting actions and feet to their faith. There are many people who are saying things, but they are not doing anything. And James said, faith without works is dead. So we got to know tonight that as you continue to walk by faith and not by sight and demonstrate that you believe and trust God as you go to church, as you pray, as you do the things that God needed, like these four men and that paralyzed man, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. And he came in one way with the bed carrying him, but he went back home another way carrying the bed. Oh, glory be to God. We're going to go off the air with that right there. They came one way expecting God, carrying the man on the bed, but the man went back home carrying his bed. He came in, Pastor, with the bed carrying him, and people of God, he went back home carrying the bed. I hope you hear God tonight that he will turn your situation around.
Yes.
If you have people that you love and you see them in a certain situation, you got to believe by faith as you pray, God one day is going to turn that situation around. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's sickness or disease. Maybe it's something that you want to disappear today. God will turn it around. Your faith will not fail you. God, I thank you for these tonight. I pray for them that you would increase their faith.
Yes.
I pray, God, that they'll walk by faith and not by sight. I pray that they will believe you, God, and not go over into that spirit of unbelief. So, God, bless tonight your people. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Please sow a seed into new creation. You can go to our website at nccmonline.org. Pastor Rebecca and myself and the local church located at 1482 Maple Avenue in Hillside, New Jersey. We're doing a great work for God. The local church is strong and well and is growing and is thriving. and there's a new excitement and energy in the church, and we love it. But your dollars, your dimes, your hundreds, your tens, your twenties, whatever you want to sow into New Creation Church, Pastor Rebecca and I really appreciate it because it's helping us advance the kingdom. You are blessing someone with your giving. So we thank you in advance for sowing into the church. Amen. If you're in the local area, 12:30 service on Sunday is going to be a powerful time in the Lord. We love you. We thank God for you. Good night, everyone, and God bless you.